Chapter 122. No just cause or impediment why these two persons should not be joined together. Mr. Dorrit, on being informed by his elder daughter that she had accepted matrimonial overtures from Mr. Sparkler, to whom she had plighted her troth, received the communication at once with great dignity and with a large display of parental pride. His dignity dilating with the widened prospect of advantageous ground from which to make acquaintances, and his parental pride being developed by Miss Fanny's ready sympathy with that great object of his existence. He gave her to understand that her noble ambition found harmonious echoes in his heart, and bestowed his blessing on her, as a child brimful of duty and good principle, self-devoted to the aggrandizement of the family name. To Mr. Sparkler, when Miss Fanny permitted him to appear, Mr. Dorrit said he would not disguise that the alliance Mr. Sparkler did him the honor to propose was highly congenial to his feelings, both as being in unison with the spontaneous affections of his daughter Fanny, and as opening a family connection of a gratifying nature with Mr. Myrtle, the master spirit of the age. Mrs. Myrtle also, as a leading lady rich in distinction, elegance, grace, and beauty, he mentioned in very laudatory terms. He felt it his duty to remark he was sure a gentleman of Mr. Sparkler's fine sense would interpret him with all delicacy, that he could not consider this proposal definitely determined on until he should have had the privilege of holding some correspondence with Mr. Myrtle, and of ascertaining it to be so far accordant with the views of that eminent gentleman as that is Mr. Dorrit's daughter would be received on that footing which her station in life and her dowry and expectations warranted him in requiring, that she should maintain in what he trusted he might be allowed, without the appearance of being mercenary, to call the eye of the great world. While saying this, which his character as a gentleman of some little station, and his character as a father, equally demanded of him, he would not be so diplomatic as to conceal that the proposal remained in hopeful abeyance, and under conditional acceptance, and that he thanked Mr. Sparkler for the compliment rendered to himself and to his family. He concluded with some further and more general observations on the high character of an independent gentleman, and the humble character of a possibly too partial and admiring parent. To sum the whole up shortly, he received Mr. Sparkler's offer very much as he would have received 3 or 4 half-crowns from him in the days that were gone. Mr. Sparkler, finding himself stunned by the words thus heaped upon his inoffensive head, made a brief though pertinent rejoinder, the same being neither more nor less than that he had long perceived Miss Fanny to have no nonsense about her, and that he had no doubt of its being all right with his governor. At that point the object of his affections shut him up like a box with a spring lid, and sent him away. Proceeding shortly afterwards to pay his respects to the bosom, Mr. Dorrit was received by it with great consideration. Mrs. Myrtle had heard of this affair from Edmund. She had been surprised at first, because she had not thought Edmund a marrying man. Society had not thought Edmund a marrying man. Still, of course she had seen, as a woman, we women did instinctively see these things, Mr. Dorrit. That Edmund had been immensely captivated by Miss Dorrit, and she had openly said that Mr. Dorrit had much to answer for in bringing so charming a girl abroad, to turn the heads of his countrymen. Have I the honor to conclude, madam, apostrophe said Mr. Dorrit, that the direction which Mr. Sparkler's affections have taken is approved of by you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I assure you, Mr. Dorrit, apostrophe returned the lady, that, personally, I am charmed. Apostrophe, that was very gratifying to Mr. Dorrit. Personally, apostrophe repeated Mrs. Myrtle, charmed. Apostrophe, this casual repetition of the word personally, apostrophe moved Mr. Dorrit to express his hope that Mr. Myrtle's approval too would not be wanting. I cannot, apostrophe said Mrs. Myrtle, take upon myself to answer positively for Mr. Myrtle. Gentlemen, especially gentlemen who are what society calls capitalists, having their own ideas of these matters. But I should think merely giving an opinion, Mr. Dorrit, I should think Mr. Myrtle would be upon the whole, apostrophe here she held a review of herself, before adding at her leisure, quite charmed, apostrophe, at the mention of gentlemen whom society called capitalists, Mr. Dorrit had coughed, as if some internal demur were breaking out of him. Mrs. Myrtle had observed it, and went on to take up the cue. Though, indeed, Mr. Dorrit, it is scarcely necessary for me to make that remark, except in the mere openness of saying what is uppermost to one whom I so highly regard, and with whom I hope I may have the pleasure of being brought into still more agreeable relations. For one cannot but see the great probability of your considering such things from Mr. Myrtle's own point of view, except indeed that circumstances have made it Mr. Myrtle's accidental fortune, or misfortune, to be engaged in business transactions, and that they, however vast, may a little cramp his horizons. I am a very child as to having any notion of business, apostrophe said Mrs. Myrtle. But I am afraid, Mr. Dorrit, it may have that tendency. Apostrophe, this skillful seesaw of Mr. Dorrit and Mrs. Myrtle, so that each of them sent the other up, and each of them sent the other down, and neither had the advantage, acted as a sedative on Mr. Dorrit's cough. He remarked with his utmost politeness, that he must beg to protest against its being supposed, even by Mrs. Myrtle, the accomplished and graceful, to which compliment she bent herself, that such enterprises as Mr. Myrtle's, apart as they were from the puny undertakings of the rest of men, had any lower tendency than to enlarge and expand the genius in which they were conceived. You are generosity itself, apostrophe said Mrs. Myrtle in return, smiling her best smile. Let us hope so. But I confess I am almost superstitious in my ideas about business. Apostrophe, Mr. Dorrit threw in another compliment here, to the effect that business, like the time which was precious in it, was made for slaves, and that it was not for Mrs. Myrtle, who ruled all hearts at her supreme pleasure, to have anything to do with it. Mrs. Myrtle laughed, and conveyed to Mr. Dorrit an idea that the bosom flushed which was one of her best effects. I say so much, apostrophe she then explained, merely because Mr. Myrtle has always taken the greatest interest in Edmund, and has always expressed the strongest desire to advance his prospects. Edmund's public position, I think you know. His private position rests solely with Mr. Myrtle. In my foolish incapacity for business, I assure you I know no more. Apostrophe, Mr. Dorrit again expressed, in his own way, the sentiment that business was below the ken of enslavers and enchantresses. He then mentioned his intention, as a gentleman and a parent, of writing to Mr. Myrtle. Mrs. Myrtle concurred with all her heart, or with all her art, which was exactly the same thing, and herself dispatched a preparatory letter by the next post to the eighth wonder of the world. In his epistolary communication, as in his dialogues and discourses on the great question to which it related, Mr. Dorrit surrounded the subject with flourishes, as writing masters embellish copy books and ciphering books. Where the titles of the elementary rules of arithmetic diverge into swans, eagles, griffins, and other calligraphic recreations, and where the capital letters go out of their minds and bodies into ecstasies of pen and ink. Nevertheless, he did render the purport of his letter sufficiently clear to enable Mr. Myrtle to make a decent pretense of having learned it from that source. Mr. Myrtle replied to it accordingly. Mr. Dorrit replied to Mr. Myrtle, Mr. Myrtle replied to Mr. Dorrit, and it was soon announced that the corresponding powers had come to a satisfactory understanding. Now, and not before, Miss Fanny burst upon the scene, completely arrayed for her new part. Now and not before, she wholly absorbed Mr. Sparkler in her light, and shone for both, and 20 more. No longer feeling that want of a defined place and character which had caused her so much trouble, this fair ship began to steer steadily on a shaped course, and to swim with a weight and balance that developed her sailing qualities. The preliminaries being so satisfactorily arranged, I think I will now, my dear, apostrophe said Mr. Dorrit, announce ha formally, to Mrs. General apostrophe, Papa, apostrophe returned Fanny, taking him up short upon that name, I don't see what Mrs. General has got to do with it. Apostrophe, my dear, apostrophe said Mr. Dorrit, it will be an act of courtesy to a lady, well-bred and refined apostrophe, oh. I am sick of Mrs. General's good breeding and refinement, Papa, apostrophe said Fanny. I am tired of Mrs. General, apostrophe, tired, apostrophe repeated Mr. Dorrit in reproachful astonishment, of ha Mrs. General, apostrophe, quite disgusted with her. Papa, apostrophe said Fanny. I really don't see what she has to do with my marriage. Let her keep to her own matrimonial projects, if she has any. Apostrophe, Fanny, apostrophe returned Mr. Dorrit, with a grave and weighty slowness upon him, contrasting strongly with his daughter's levity. I beg the favor of your explaining, what it is you mean. Apostrophe I mean. Papa, apostrophe said Fanny, that if Mrs. General should happen to have any matrimonial projects of her own, I dare say they are quite enough to occupy her spare time. And that if she has not, so much the better, but still I don't wish to have the honor of making announcements to her. Apostrophe, permit me to ask you, Fanny, apostrophe said Mr. Dorrit, why not? Apostrophe, because she can find my engagement out for herself, Papa, apostrophe retorted Fanny. She is watchful enough, I dare say. I think I have seen her so. Let her find it out for herself. If she should not find it out for herself, she will know it when I am married. And I hope you will not consider me wanting in affection for you, Papa, if I say it strikes me that will be quite enough for Mrs. General. Apostrophe, Fanny, apostrophe returned Mr. Dorrit, I am amazed, I am displeased by this capricious, and unintelligible display of animosity towards Mrs. General. Apostrophe, do not, if you please, Papa, apostrophe urged Fanny, call it animosity, because I assure you I do not consider Mrs. General worth my animosity. Apostrophe, at this, Mr. Dorrit rose from his chair with a fixed look of severe reproof, and remained standing in his dignity before his daughter. His daughter, turning the bracelet on her arm, and now looking at him, and now looking from him, said, very well, Papa. I am truly sorry, if you don't like it, but I can't help it. I am not a child, and I am not Amy, and I must speak. Apostrophe, Fanny, apostrophe gasped Mr. Dorrit, after a majestic silence, if I request you to remain here, while I formally announce to Mrs. General, as an exemplary lady, who is a trusted member of this family, the change, that is contemplated among us. If I not only request it, but insist upon it apostrophe, oh, Papa, apostrophe Fanny broke in with pointed significance. If you make so much of it as that, I have in duty nothing to do but comply. I hope I may have my thoughts upon the subject, however, for I really cannot help it under the circumstances. So, Fanny sat down with a meekness which, in the junction of extremes, became defiance, and her father, either not deigning to answer, or not knowing what to answer, summoned Mr. Tinkler into his presence. Mrs. General. Apostrophe, Mr. Tinkler, amused to receive such short orders in connection with the fair varnisher, paused. Mr. Dorrit, seeing the whole Marshalsea and all its testimonials in the pause, instantly flew at him with, how dare you, sir? What do you mean? Apostrophe, I beg your pardon, sir, apostrophe pleaded Mr. Tinkler, I was wishful to know apostrophe you wished to know nothing, sir, apostrophe cried Mr. Dorrit, highly flushed. Don't tell me you did. Ha! You didn't. You are guilty of mockery, sir. Apostrophe, I assure you, sir, apostrophe Mr. Tinkler began. Don't assure me. Apostrophe said Mr. Dorrit. I will not be assured by a domestic. You are guilty of mockery. You shall leave me, the whole establishment shall leave me. What are you waiting for? Apostrophe, only for my orders, sir. Apostrophe, it's false. Apostrophe, said Mr. Dorrit, you have your orders. Ha-hum. My compliments to Mrs. General, and I beg the favor of her coming to me, if quite convenient, for a few minutes. Those are your orders. Apostrophe, in his execution of this mission, Mr. Tinkler perhaps expressed that Mr. Dorrit was in a raging fume. However that was, Mrs. General's skirts were very speedily heard outside, coming along one, might almost have said bouncing along with unusual expedition. Albeit, they settled down at the door, and swept into the room with their customary coolness. Mrs. General, apostrophe said Mr. Dorrit, take a chair. Apostrophe, Mrs. General, with a graceful curve of acknowledgement, descended into the chair which Mr. Dorrit offered. Madam, apostrophe pursued that gentleman, as you have had the kindness to undertake the formation of my daughters, and as I am persuaded that nothing nearly affecting them can be indifferent to you, apostrophe, wholly impossible, apostrophe said Mrs. General in the calmest of ways. Apostrophe, I therefore wish to announce to you, madam, that my daughter now present, apostrophe, Mrs. General made a slight inclination of her head to Fanny, who made a very low inclination of her head to Mrs. General, and came loftily upright again. Apostrophe, that my daughter Fanny is contracted to be married to Mr. Sparkler, with whom you are acquainted. Hence, madam, you will be relieved of half your difficult charge, a difficult charge. Apostrophe, Mr. Dorrit repeated it with his angry eye on Fanny. But not, I hope, to the diminution of any other portion, direct or indirect, of the footing you have at present the kindness to occupy in my family. Apostrophe, Mr. Dorrit, apostrophe, returned Mrs. General, with her gloved hands resting on one another in exemplary repose, is ever considerate, and ever but too appreciative of my friendly services. Apostrophe, Miss Fanny coughed, as much as to say, you are right. Apostrophe, Miss Dorrit has no doubt exercised the soundest discretion of which the circumstances admitted, and I trust, will allow me to offer her my sincere congratulations. When free from the trammels of passion, apostrophe, Mrs. General closed her eyes at the word, as if she... Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.